Good morning, 7:37 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If it happens in Milton, we'll talk about it. I do feel like sometimes, but oh my God, I can't stop. It's the best soap opera. Not related to Milton. Of course, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, here with us in studio. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm great. We both took a one-week vacation from each other.
Yeah, I was not on vacation. You were actually on vacation.
I was. You were. Yeah. You were in Jacksonville for a sheriff's conference?
Yeah, we have a winter conference and a summer conference. Obviously, we had the winter conference this past week.
A lot of good parties at the sheriff's conference?
We don't do parties at sheriff's conferences.
So it's boring. It's not fun.
Well, I mean, it's training. You kind of go over what's taking place in the state and trying to stay away from the monopolization of the immigration topic that has been going on last couple of weeks.
Anything specific that comes out of that that you feel like sharing or I just figure getting around other law enforcement officials is always like sharpening the sword stuff. Like that's all just, good for you to learn and see what other people are doing, them learn from you, you learn from them, and, just get a different perspective on life, right, for what you're doing.
Yeah, it's not so much, how to conduct a traffic stop or how to, collect fingerprints or something. It is more of that 30,000 foot level where you look at policies and you look at what legislation might be coming down so you can better prepare for those types of changes. And as I've mentioned for the last couple of weeks, we've always worked with our federal partners on getting violent individuals, felons, violent felons. We want to get them off the street no matter who they are. And if we're aware of any gang members of any type, then obviously we're going to work to get them off the street. So the proposed legislation we had a long discussion about, and I don't have the jail. Escambia County Sheriff's Office does not run the jail. The Board of County Commissioners run the jail.
You briefly ran the jail.
If you look historically.
As the deputy county administrator when you were over
Chief Corrections Officer, right.
Thank you. Sorry. Yeah.
So that's correct. And the sheriff's office has actually had the control of the jail, and then they gave it up. And then, by statute, the Board of County Commissioners has to run the jail, and they can get into an arrangement with the sheriff, and the sheriff would act as also the chief corrections officer. We, at this point in our Escambia County's history, our county commissioners run the jail. But there are some requirements, it looks to be, in this new legislation, some requirements for them to have individuals trained as warrant service officers so that they can serve these federal warrants and such. I don't know if the governor signed it yet, but my understanding is that he certainly will sign it. And then there will
third tries a charm.
Yeah, and then there will start some training for the county jail. Again, I won't speak for them, but I'll simply speak for the sheriff's office and say that we certainly will cooperate with federal authorities and make sure that we get these violent criminals off the street.
It was a little bit of a weird week because, of course, yesterday I talked to Sheriff Bob Johnson, Monday Santa Rosa, Tuesday Escambia County. There were sort of more high-profile incidents in Santa Rosa last week than in Escambia. It's been relatively quiet, but you did have a couple. This goes back a little bit more than a week, but the one that caught my attention was a guy got stabbed at a Super Bowl party?
Yeah.
Didn't know what happened?
Well, it was a fight. Obviously, a fight escalated and I don't recall the details exactly, but
I think he got stabbed in the neck or something.
Yeah, but it was not life threatening. It was not superficial, so it didn't really stick in my memory.
Okay, all right, I got you. I'm trying to think of what would have produced the fight. Kendrick Lamar is amazing. No, he's not. The Eagles are great. No, they're. I don't know what would produce a fight at the Super Bowl.
It wouldn't
party,
be the first fight over.
It wouldn't be the first one at a
Super Bowl or a sporting
drinking
event. Yeah.
Wings, whatever. You also had you had a shooting, but it's a kind of a low grade one where somebody was grazed at Oakcrest Park, maybe about a week or so ago. Is that right?
Yeah, about a week ago, we had a ShotSpotter indication that showed 17 gunshots were coming from the area of Oakcrest Park.
Oh, that's a lot. 17 is a lot.
We were able to see some video footage that showed a single person in the park shooting at a passing vehicle. Again, those 17 shots were rung out, and then a house and two vehicles parked in a driveway did sustain some damage. I think a lady was wounded, superficial wounds to her back, obviously non-life-threatening, and so we're still looking for information on who did this. So we're working on it, but that happened about a week ago.
17 shots. One woman was mildly grazed.
Right.
Okay. I mean, good. I mean, I'm glad it's not worse. But also, ShotSpotter. We haven't talked about that a lot. it was my understanding that ShotSpotter wasn't alerting very frequently. Has that been the case that there haven't been? I mean, there were a lot in the beginning, and now there haven't been in a while. Or am I wrong about that?
No, it still goes off quite regularly.
All right.
I will tell you, it doesn't
seem still useful.
As if,
still useful.
Yeah, it's still useful. In fact, we're asking for an appropriation to extend it for 2 more years.
Okay.
Because it's really expensive. But if you combine that with our real-time crime center, it's certainly beneficial for, you know, for us as a law enforcement agency, but also us as a county.
Gotcha. There was also a pretty significant drug seizure, but I think maybe it was the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, FDACS, interdicted a van with 11 bricks of cocaine that had started in El Paso and was headed for South Florida, about $250,000. But you guys, I assume, I don't think you were the arresting, but you were like, something happens and you guys show up to help, right?
Yeah, Department of Agriculture, which I think now is a part of FHP.
The immigration.
They're all together. And they frequently do this interstate interdiction type stuff. Sometimes we're with them, sometimes we are not. And sometimes we do the interstate interdiction on our own because a lot of us interstate 10 is it goes through Escambia County. But in this case, yeah, the agriculture officer made the stop. We just simply stood by to assist them because, again, they don't have that many officers out there.
Right.
And if we're available to help them, we'll certainly do so.
When you do interstate interdiction, are you looking for speeders, people driving weird, you know, driving suspicious vehicles? Are you doing plate readers? Are you looking for particular, like, what is the shape of that? Because you're not stopping vehicles. You're not doing, like, DUI checkpoints or something like that.
Yeah, we're not doing interstate. I understand this one, the thought was that this van was of a certain size that should have went through the weigh station.
And it
did not, so it passed through that. And that's what I understand the traffic stop was about, although I have not talked to that officer. But typically what we'll do is it's for speeders. You look for speeders or something that's illegal. You don't need checkpoints.
A justifiable reason to pull somebody over.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of times you will work with our state partners and, you know, they may or may not go through the weigh station. We can stop them. There are things that you learn, to look for or be on the lookout for. There's like, a bobtail type semi pickup truck with no back on it. Right. The thought there is, just to give you an example, they're not making money if they don't have a big cargo type on the back of their vehicle. So
okay.
if it's riding empty, I'll say then there's no reason for that. Usually they'll get their whatever product that they're transporting, and they'll deliver that, and they'll pick up another one and go somewhere else.
Sure,
that's how the efficiency works. But if you see one without a trailer attached to it, you know, that's one more thing. So, okay, ask that question. What are you doing? Where
Something
are you coming
odd,
from?
Yeah.
Where are you going to? A lot of times you check the paper, the manifest, if you will, and you'll see what they're supposed to be delivering and just ask them questions.
Hey, I do have a question. I had asked it of Sheriff Johnson yesterday, but get your thoughts on this because we're entering session for the legislature.
Right.
So the chance of them to maybe take up an issue that, you know, gets highlighted in local media perhaps. I am seeing more and more of these electric bicycles everywhere.
Right.
And I think of it because I drive on Burgess, you know, going home, and there's not room for a lot of extra stuff on Burgess on the west side of Davis Highway in Hilburn. But I think of it other places too. We had a wreck the other day where somebody's riding an electric bike south on Highway 29 and ran into a car and got sent to the hospital. I see bikes and electric bikes going the wrong way in the bike lanes, but I see these electric bikes all the time, and they're fast, right? 30, 35 miles an hour. They're a motor vehicle, but you don't have to have a license. And I mean, help me out here. I'm just looking for input. It seems like they are making driving less safe and unsafe for them and me. But is it just my perception, or do you perceive this too? What's the, like, sense of the streets from Sheriff Simmons?
Yeah, you know, as technology continues to advance, these bicycles at least become faster and faster. And I don't think that people understand just how fast some of these electric bikes can go, 30, 35 miles per hour. And probably faster eventually. And to your point, it's like a bicycle. I think they're governed by the same rules as a bicycle because they don't have the motor that's so many CCs.
You don't have to have a license for them and all that. Right, and there's no CCs, right, because it's
battery.
And some
of them aren't wearing helmets.
Right.
And, you know, they should be doing that stuff. So, I mean, there is some enforcement action that can be taken. They're not supposed to be going, you know, against traffic. They're supposed to be going with traffic like bicycles. And I believe they're supposed to be in the the far right 3 foot of the lane itself, so the vehicular traffic can go around them. But if you're asking me if I think they should be looked at, obviously I think that they're gonna have to address that at some point. Just like we did with the golf carts, there are some neighborhoods mm-hmm. that have a lot more golf carts out there, and some are tagged, and some of them are not. And then there's some neighborhoods that can become, you know, golf cart friendly type, or whatever they call themselves, utility vehicle friendly. So I would think that they always will take a look at it. Escambia County cannot be the only county in Northwest Florida, cannot be the only area where this is an issue.
Right. I mean,
there's obviously electric bikes throughout, throughout the state of Florida. So I'm sure they're taking a look at that. I'm not sure if they're going to have to pull that away from the bicycle, the pedal powered bicycle, mm-hmm. or if they can just make some changes to all of it. I mean, do we want them on the sidewalk? Probably not. I don't.
Right.
You know, that's where people should be walking, you know, or jogging. So I think that perhaps there might be some issues on speed, just like they did with the motors on a motorcycle.
And one of the other issues, and Sheriff Johnson, I think, pointed this out, if I remember, that, you know, they're silent, right? So it's not like a motorcycle that at least you hear coming, or even a moped or something like that you hear coming. Then the scooters fall in the same category, where it's silent because it's electric. And so that adds a layer of safety concern in terms of pedestrians, drivers, everybody kind of being
bicycles
aware.
Bicycles are silent as well, so I guess.
Not the way I ride it.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear me screaming, you know I'm coming.
Downhill.
We have fun. That's exactly right. Ring, 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 ring. I really wish I had a.
And I can just visualize you on your bicycle. With
Oh, it's easy to easy to imagine. I'll send you a picture sometime.
You look like Mr. McFeely from with your special deliveries.
Nice. Oh, I saw my first white cruiser. I saw one at Davis and Creighton, and I wasn't fast enough on the draw to get a photo, mm-hmm. but I did see one parked outside of Pensacon, and I think they look sharp. And for people, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when you first announced it, but maybe just a quick reminder to people, it's not purely aesthetic, although they are in demand and they're nice looking, but right. the advantages you get from basically not painting them are...
It's each one costs us about, saves us about $2,000, because historically we'd have to paint the front and the back, mm-hmm. you know, green, so it's green and white. Then also we can get them a couple months earlier. You know, there's not this backlog of cars that have to be painted green and white. And like you said, we think they look pretty sharp. So we've got our first about 30, 35 cars in, and so you'll start seeing a lot more of them out there.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again in a week, and we'll see you then.
You bet. Y'all take care.